It is WM Open Week, and that means, as always, Bob Herrig is with us from Sports Illustrated, one of the best in the business. He has a new book that is out. He didn't even say, "Hey, Brad, can you push the book?" I'll push the book. Okay. He wrote Drive, The Lasting Legacy of Tiger Woods. Your new book is, before we get into the Open, got a cover for me?
Yes, I'll show you. It's not out yet in the spring. It's called Tiger v. Jack. Golf's Great Debate, and that sort of explains it. I sort of dove into the whole Tiger Jack phenomena, celebrate them both, and they're, try to show just how amazing it was that Tiger was even in the mix to chase him, and a few other candidates for the best ever, possibly, if you wanted to go that way, they're covered. And it's also, this is the 40th anniversary of Jack's 86 Masters win. This Masters, kind of hard to believe, but 40 years. And that set the benchmark. That was his last tour win, 73rd, last major, 18. And and Tiger just turned 50. So it seemed like a good kind of time to examine it, because I'm not sure Tiger's going to be doing any more. And obviously that was a pretty iconic win that Jack had 40 years ago at age 46.
Okay, one other question on the book, and that is, how much access did both of them give you?
I had no direct access to Tiger. I mean, that's been the case with my other books.
Right.
I've had to just kind of rely on my own reporting and getting him here and there, and which I've done many, many times over the years. Jack, though, I got 90 minutes with him about a year ago. I went to his office, and he was great. It was, obviously you could probably talk to him for 24 hours about all this stuff, but he just he was very accommodating, helpful, some interesting little stories. And yeah, it was fun. That was a great part of it. But obviously this is a lot about talking to other people and
Sure.
what do they think, and recounting some of their biggest moments. Jack's longevity is amazing, especially when you compare it to Tiger's lack of it. But yet Tiger had a lot of great high moments that Jack didn't have, not as much detail. So I think there's a pretty good ebb and flow of going back and forth, no matter which side you're on.
All right, hold up that cover again. I'm going to
Sure.
sell a book or two. When is this coming out, Bob?
The actual pub date isn't until May 5th.
May 5th. All
So
right. So right
we still
around
got,
Father's Day. Father's Day gift.
yeah, exactly. So we still got 3 months, but yeah, no, they're happy if I start pushing it now. That's good to get the word out. And obviously, as the Masters gets closer, it'll become a bigger deal.
What do you make out of this field this week at the WM Open now that Brooks Koepka is here? And that Bryson made some comments about that it wasn't all that he signed up for. And,
Yeah.
it's kind of like a few years ago, you and I spoke about what would the tour look like, especially the Phoenix stop, and just in general with Brooks being here this week.
Well, one thing I've always said throughout all of this is I never thought that the Phoenix tournament was going to suffer. It's a great tournament on its own. It doesn't necessarily need all of the great top players to be successful. And yet it has a lot of them. And that's the thing, is there's a lot of depth on the PGA Tour. You might not get every single guy every single time, but when you have Scottie Scheffler, that's pretty good. Another thing about adding Brooks to the field, which is gone a little under the radar, but I think is a really smart move that the tour made, was any tournament he enters, he gets added. So this is a 120 player field now, down from 132. So that's going to cause some angst among the membership, right? They've shrunk some fields,
Right.
and that's not necessarily gone over very well. Okay, so then you have this guy who comes back from LIV and he's exempt because he's won majors. Oh, well, now somebody else is going to get bumped out. No, he's added. And actually, to make there be an even number, or the proper number for threesomes, they're adding two more guys. So that's a win. I mean, I think, like, nobody gets hurt, nobody loses a spot. The only thing they're possibly losing out on is if he takes away their prize money, which of course the refrain to that is play better, beat them.
Right.
You know, if you beat them, everything takes care of itself. But he's not going to keep you out. And actually, two guys who wouldn't have got in will get in. So I think those things are good. And you know, to your comments about Bryson, Bryson's in an incredibly good leverage position right now. They really can't lose him. Now he's going to play for LIV this year, but this is the last year of his contract. You know, these comments about not what we signed up for with going to 72 holes is interesting. You know, Bryson has sort of hinted that he would like to have a little bit more say in the way things are done. And, you know, I guess wouldn't we all, right? I mean, it doesn't always work that way, but you can kind of understand his point. Like, I think he feels like his voice matters. And if it's not being heard, that's probably not a good thing. You know, so what happens now, like when we get to the end of the year, do they have to fork over another, you know, $100+ million deal to keep them when they've been losing tons of money? I know they can afford it, but do they want to? You know, look, LIV has struggled to gain traction with Bryson,
Right.
with Rom, you know, and so it's an interesting time, I think. The tour clearly feels they have the upper hand, but LIV isn't going anywhere. You know, they're in Riyadh this week. They're in Adelaide next week. You know, they're hoping to get world ranking points. It's going to be, you know, it's funny how this thing has evolved. It just kind of keeps giving us things to talk about.
I was just going to say it was the Ryder Cup and how it finished up. It's Tiger and the Champions Tour. You know, I've got my Schwabi on. There's some
Yeah.
people asking already, do you think he'll play here? I don't know. You would have better insight than I would. That's not till November. But, you know, what the future holds for the game, where a few years ago you and I spoke, and I think there was some dark clouds. There was a lot of questions and pessimism. And now it feels as though like the PGA's got its upper hand back.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting how this whole thing has evolved. I mean, you know, obviously I've tried to keep as much of an open mind as possible. You talk about some of the best players, best names in the game going over there. How can you ignore it? Right? How can you not you know, acknowledge what's going on? You know, there's a lot of big names that have gone over there. But you know, when I look back on it, it's been divisive. And I don't think it's good for a niche sport like golf to be divided. You need everybody together as much as possible. And, you know, as much as we don't like the word monopoly, in business and in the world, it actually works in sports. I'm not saying that you should conspire, you know, the legalities of it, but, you know, a long time ago, there was an AFL and an NFL. And they eventually merged because having one was better than two. Same with when there was the, what was it,
The NBA and the ABA.
well, sure. And then there was the Spring Football League,
Right. USFL.
which
The
the
USFL.
USFL, exactly. It
Yeah.
escaped me there for a minute. But I mean, you know, when Herschel Walker and Steve Young were playing in the USFL, yeah, sure, we could watch them, but they weren't playing in the NFL. And people wanted them all together. I mean, what could be more, if given our passion for the NFL in this country, you mean to tell me we couldn't have two? But I'm not sure that two works, right? So, you know, again, the golf is a little different because it's a worldwide sport, and there's markets around the world that feel deprived because of the PGA Tour's dominance. That's where LIV works. Next week in Adelaide, incredibly popular. When they go to Hong Kong and Singapore and Spain and even the UK, those are successful tournaments for them. Maybe not huge money makers, but they get a good bit of attention. Obviously, when they're here, it's really had a hard time capturing the imagination of golf fans, and the TV ratings have sort of borne that out.
I appreciate your time and insight as always. I'm happy to see that you're doing another book, that it's coming out. And thanks for the time.
Thanks a lot, Brad. Have a great week.
And we're back with more after this time out.